From Anshe Svar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to a discussion of Megillat Esther, Why the Hurry? We know that there was a debate between Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai said that she should go, that Esther should go to the king. You should go and beg the king for her people. Very simple. Go. When should she go? Now. Esther says, wait a second. I haven't been called for 30 days. You can't just go to the king. You get killed for showing up. I don't want to get killed. Then how can I help the Jews then? Wait until I'm called. I haven't been called for 30 days. It's a little unusual, but should be called soon, and we'll do it then. Now, when she said that, says that Tzror Hamor, the Avraham Savang, the Spanish, Portuguese, and North African commentator, whose commentary on the Megillah recently came out in a nice new edition 4 years ago, the Eshkol HaKofir, he says, I don't understand. Why can't Mordechai give some respect to Esther? She knows the rules. She's not supposed to go without being called. Why should she endanger her life? She said, well, they have to save the Jews. Said, oh, hold on a second. When is Haman going to kill the Jews? On Purim, 14th of Adar. All right. What's the date now? The date now is around the 12th or 13th of Nisan. There's a whole year until Haman's going to kill the Jews. So why do we need to rush to go against the protocol and go save the Jews now? Could save them later. Wait until Esther finds the right moment, and then she'll do it. In fact, she actually does wait a few days. She fasts for 3 days. Then she says, come to a party. Then she says, come to another party. So she does dilly-dally for her own reasons. So why was Mordechai so convinced it must be done right now? In fact, in the end, they land out fasting for 3 days. When? On Pesach. What do you have to fast on Pesach? Wait till after Pesach. Have the fast then, and then go to Achashverosh. It's such a big rush. You have a year to save the Jews. Tzror Hamor of Avraham Savang gives 4 answers why there was no time to waste. The first answer is that, you know, even before Esther gathered the Jews gathered with Mordechai. When they heard the bad news about the Jews being killed, they fasted, they wore sackcloth, and the Jews were beginning to repent. They had feasted of the feast of Achashverosh. Now they were fasting to atone for their feasting with the Gentiles, feasting perhaps forbidden foods. So they were feasting. They were fasting. So at that moment, when there was the propensity toward tshuva and repentance, that's the moment to take advantage of it and to request from Achashverosh to save the Jews. Maybe this is the moment when the Jews have repented. You don't know how long that'll last. Maybe they'll go back to their old ways 3 days later. You've got to take advantage of it right now. Don't wait anymore. Of course, Esther's response was, I want 3 more days of fasting. Then we'll go in to see the king. Second answer. What did I say the date was? Nisan. Nisan, b'nisan nigalu, b'nisan tigdin legel. In Nisan, we were redeemed. In Nisan, we will be redeemed again, says the Talmud of Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, it's appropriate to try to save the Jews during Nisan. And he says, Shema Garim, sometimes the name of a month can cause the nature of the month. The name of the month in Babylonian terms, and the Jews who came from Babylonia to commemorate the exodus from Babylonia, they, in the days of Ezra, we call it Nisan. Nisan reminds us of Nisim, Nes, miracle. It's a month that's propitious for miracles. Therefore, a good time to try to save the Jews. There's no time to waste. We've got to do it during this particular month. A third reason he gives is that based on Tzror Hamor's personal experience. When Tzror Hamor makes a commentary on Chumash, on the Megillah, he brings his personal experience. He's a very autobiographical commentator. We know that his sons, I believe, converted to Catholicism because they were kicked out of Spain because became completely Catholic. Then they went to Portugal, where they were allowed to live
for only 5 years, from 1492 till 1497. Then they had to leave. I'm sorry, they had to convert to Catholicism. Tzvi Hamor was lucky, he got to escape to North Africa. But his son wasn't so lucky, he converted. So, says the Tzvi Hamor, let me get this straight. The Jews have a year to die, until they die. If you were a Jew, what might you do? You might have mercy on your family, your children, and you say, you know what? Let them convert. I'll martyr myself, but let my children convert. Save them from this fate of being killed. So a lot of people did, even during the Holocaust. There's a question. Could you take your children and bring them to a Gentile, to a monastery, to let them live as Christians? Rabbi Oshri was against it. Others said it's okay. But in any event, they thought, let the children convert. So there's no time to waste. The Jews are nervous. They're already sending their kids off to the monasteries to convert. You have to do something about it now. Don't waste any time. We've got to save those Jews. The fourth answer that he gives is that you have to know the mindset of the anti-Semite. The mindset of the anti-Semite is that if there's a decree that came out to kill the Jews next year, why wait? Let's do it now. After all, we have a principle when it comes to mitzvot. There's a reason, maktim in the mitzvot. You have a bris to do. Don't do it 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Do it for the morning. By the first thing. Zrizin maktim in the mitzvot. If you're fastidious, if you're alacrity, you do things right away. So these anti-Semites, surely they want to kill the Jews right away. The fact is, Midrash, that on those very days when Esther was fasting and all that, the Haman came and he said, who are these kids? 22,000 kids? We're going to kill them first and we'll kill the Jews later. He put them in a dungeon or something. And he said, all right, you can have your one last meal. The women were crying. And the children said, no, we're not eating. We are fasting. And they started to cry and sounded like goats that were crying. And God heard the cries in heaven and said, what are the goats? He said, no, it's the Jews. The children are crying. And God felt so bad, he turned over the decree. So what do we see? That the Haman was trying to kill the Jews already now. It's true that he doesn't have license to kill them till later. But he was getting ready. He was getting all the anti-Semites ready, lining them up. The Ku Klux Klan getting them all riled up. Once the Jewish blood is cheap, it was cheap. And there would be no recourse. But finally, there's another possibility. And that is that when we fight Haman, we have to fight him on his terms. And it's true. I once gave a whole lecture on the YouTube here, on YU Torah, on the notion that Haman is all about tomorrow. Haman can't wait for tomorrow. We as Jews, we have patience. We can wait till tomorrow. So how come it's the opposite over here? How come over here Mordechai insists on doing it right away? So the answer is that when Mordechai saw that Haman said, I know it's next year, but I'm sending it Federal Express. I'm going to pay extra. He sent the messengers and he said, you run as fast as you can. And the messengers, the couriers, they ran, they went with their horses and they told everybody right away about how to kill the Jews. Oh, if the Jews are going so fast, then you have to act like he does. As Jews, we have to be more fastidious, more committed than the anti-Semites. If the anti-Semites are willing to spend 10,000 silver pieces to kill the Jews as Haman was, we have to give a half shekel, each one of us, to undo and to outdo all the anti-Semitic commitment to killing us. If Haman's willing to go quickly, we have to go quickly as well, and that's why he went, in fact, so quickly. He also says that there was a psychological component as well. If you tell the Jews, don't worry about it. Right now everything's fine, but next spring, everybody's dead. You know what kind of panic that would put you in? So the Jews were in such a panic, they would be like die every day, wake up every morning, go to sleep at night, and couldn't sleep, and they were dying a daily death. So that's why something had to be done right away. But this idea that that we have to look at even evil people and say, look at those people. They're so committed to evil. Look at Putin. He has that chutzpah for something so horrible, so terrible, to take over that nation. We should have a chutzpah to do the right thing and to do what we should be doing and to not worry about what anyone else says, to do the right thing. You can learn from the wicked not what to do, but what not to do, but also sometimes how to do it. The wicked are sometimes very committed to their wickedness, and we have to be equally committed to our righteousness. Thank you for joining us here at the Anshei Sefarad Beth Lameth congregation. Wish everyone a happy Purim, a great Purim, and thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.